may not be that smart and they may not be that pretty, but they like to talk about Cardiff City. It's the view from the ninny, and with views from the ninny, and not shoes from the ninny, and the view from the ninny.
It's another week. Ben James is not here, so it's me, Ben Price, taking the lead. And to fill his massive shoes, we've had to get two people. Joining me, as always, is the miraculous Tom Phillips. How are you, Tom?
Very well, thank you. I don't think I've ever been called miraculous before, so thanks for that. Right.
You're wonderful. I'm bringing positivity because we're going to need it today.
Appreciate it.
Also joining me is the wonderful Ryan Marsh. How's it going, buddy?
Yes, all good. I would say it's a privilege to be on you, but it's going to be an interesting experience. Finally be given a platform to air my views on Cardiff City.
Yeah, I'm interested. You don't have a lot of time with Alternative Wales to sort of talk about how you feel it's going. So
we'll in a minute. Yeah, we'll leave that. I'm sure I'll have my say in good time.
Looking forward to it. And then also join us is the wonderful, the beautiful Dan Jardine. How's it going, buddy?
Beautiful. Wow, thank you very much. No, very good, thanks. Apart from watching the football, obviously. But yeah, very good.
Yeah, football aside. So, boys, right, we'll get into it. Start you, right? How do you think the season's gone so far, then?
Oh, it's been an absolute shit show, isn't it? From pretty much day one, trying to get into the Cardiff City Stadium. It got there half an hour before kickoff and ended up getting in 15 minutes after the game started. It was supposed to be the big return, wasn't it? You know, fans back. I think we would have had some sort of positivity because fans were back and people hadn't gone to see football, but it soured quickly and it's just seemed to got worse from there, really. So, yeah, nice positive start from me.
Yeah, keep it up, mate. This is going to be a happy podcast. I can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, what about you, mate? How have you seen the season so far?
I mean, it's just not been encouraging, has it? I mean, start of the season, obviously, with Mick McCarthy, we thought it couldn't be any more depressing. And here we are, a couple of points off the drop. Having just lost to our closest rival. I wouldn't say closest rivals, but our rivals just down the road. Disappointing to have the fans back, especially, you know, waiting so long to get back into the stadiums and having to turn up and watch that. It's not encouraging, is it?
No, it's pretty depressing. Tom, I would ask you, but I don't care.
Yeah, I think I've said my piece enough this season. You don't need me to rehashing my views.
All we need is just you silently sobbing. That was the other idea I had for this podcast for this week, because obviously Ben's not here. He's sunning himself. Is he in Austin at the moment, isn't he?
He's currently on his way to Miami as we speak.
Oh, he's on his way, is he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was thinking of just like playing an hour-long soundtrack of just someone's site, just crying every now and again. Thought we'd just cover it quite nicely.
I'm glad we didn't go with that. I'm not going to lie, Ben.
I could have done with the night off, to be honest, boys. A lot's got on. God, it's lovely to see your faces, but yeah, I got stuff to do. Right, let's get into it, shall we? We all know what happened on the weekend. Bristol City 3, Cardiff City 2. In the notes, I've just gone with the simple, what the fuck happened? Tom, we'll start with you, mate. What happened?
But it started, well, I feel like I've said this over and over again this season, that we saw a glimpse of a bit of hope at the beginning of the game, where we were stringing a few passes together, created a few chances, albeit from, you know, set pieces. And then our goal, yeah, Bristol made a mistake, but, you know, it was a well-taken goal. It's what we wanted to see. And then from there, we just capitulated. But we just capitulate over and over again this season. And I think, I don't know, there's just worry in the manner that we do it. Just second half, we just looked completely disinterested. Like, and Morrison has said it, that they wanted it more than us. And that's the thing that, like, it's the gut the most, isn't it? The fact that players look like they don't want to be out there anymore. There's no fight. There's no fire. We can forgive bad performances, but there just seems to be very little desire out there at the moment. And it's just also deflating, because we've had this debate before about, like, biggest rivals. I very much dislike Bristol more than I dislike Swansea. So this result really, really hurt. And we're just going to live with them gloating again now, because we were awful. And to be honest, 3-2 by the end of the game flattered us.
Yeah. Dan, we sort of look at this, it's a similar thing. Like, we say the same near enough every derby at the moment with this current squad. What is it? Is it like a lack of character from the boys? Is it just other teams wanting it more? What's going on with sort of those players? How can they not get up for a derby?
They're too comfortable. They're surely too comfortable. You've got players there, we're looking at contracts expiring at the end of the season. And a lot of that is is the key squad, you know, older members of the team that we're playing on the weekend. And it's really a question of, do they want it more? Well, are they just seeing out their paychecks now until the end of the season, until they expire? And if that is true, then we could be in a lot of trouble.
I think we already are, aren't we? We're looking at it. But talk about youngsters. Youngster from Man City on loan. Doyle started, looked impressive, got a lovely assist. Ryan, what did you make of his debut?
I think it was a positive. I think the only... I don't think it's a criticism of him, more of a criticism on the team, is I think he's on a different wavelength. I think a player like that, who's a playmaker, he relies on other people's runs for him to then pick out. But when you haven't got the quality that, like, even Man City under 23s probably have in terms of movement up front, and you've just got, I mean, James Collins, that little movement for the goal was really good. But, like, you could just tell, even for the goal, I think he holds that ball up out wide, doesn't he? And he tries to sort of give, I think it's Mark Harris, the nod to run into the byline to play it to him. And it's too late. And by the time he gets there, it's intercepted. Obviously, it does make its way back to Doyle and the ball goes in. But I think for a player like that, you need to have other quality around him to get the best out of him. And I think he'll only start cutting a more frustrated figure as the weeks go on, if Saturday was anything to go by.
He's only the positive negative there. That's quite impressive. The one thing we had.
His set piece delivery was good, and you know, for all the talk of us trying to change style, the only thing we did seem to be relying on was set pieces. So if he can whip in a good set piece and we can score a few goals off it, I'll take anything at the moment.
Collins obviously got the goal. He's starting to bag a few now, despite some massively lacking in service. Think he's starting to find his feet now, Tom?
Possibly. I think, you know, it's what you expect from him, right? He's got a lot of energy. He puts himself about. And those are the type of goals you expect from him. I think by this stage of the season, we're going to see a bit more of that. You know, he probably had a bit more of a run in the team than we thought he would, you know, with Kiefer being in and out of the squad. You'd hope he would have bagged a few more by now. If, you know, like Doyle carries on putting deliveries like that, we might see a few more going Collins' way. But, you know, to be honest, it's the bare minimum you expect from him. And it has been disappointing up until now. I want to be a bit more positive about him because I like him. He comes across like a nice bloke. You know, he wants to do well. You can see that when he got his first goal, you know, he was absolutely buzzing. You know, you could see he was a frustrated figure for us. But I don't think he's good enough. To be honest, the whole team aren't good enough. But, like, I don't think he's good enough for this level, for what our ambitions were at the beginning of the season. I thought it was a good sign-in, first of all, to compliment Kiefer, but, you know, he's had more of a main role than we probably wanted him to have so far.
Fair enough. It's improving sort of towards the top end, but I think one area that's constantly sticking out for me that's been an issue all season has been the defence. One clean sheet. I think we're still the second worst defensive record in the league. And then this week against Bristol, it looked horrific. Dan, what was going on with that, mate?
Oh my God! Yeah, you're right. It was horrific. It was I mean, looking at the picture, this we've seen the screenshot on Twitter of our defence for Chris Martin's goal. This is the second one. And they're just all over the spot. I mean, if you're going to play five at the back, surely you've got to, you know, you're giving yourself that extra cover. You're giving yourself that extra space to close down players, and just spatially, they're just not there mentally. I don't think either, or technically, or physically. You know, I feel frustrated for people like Hudson, you know, who has been a part of our defence over the years, a solid, strong defence. And he's trying to implement that on this current squad of players, group of players in defence. And they're just not there. I like Mark McGuinness. I think he's a young lad. He comes from a footballing pair degree background at Arsenal in the academy. He looks like he could be a quality player for us for years to come. But at the minute, the players around him, the experienced ones, really aren't stepping up. Flint just looks disinterested. Morrison's just not having a good season. And Nelson, I'm just not sure he's up to this level.
Fair enough. Yeah. You sort of look at what's come in and sort of like, you said Hudson there. Do you think he's getting a bit of a, and I'm not trying to sort of throw things at the bush, he's a friend of the party, he's been on a couple of times, hopefully be on again soon. But you sort of look at this new management's come in, the defence has clearly been an issue all season. He's come in, obviously, with the idea of sort of looking and working in that area. but improvements haven't happened yet. Is it time to start asking questions and sort of saying that it's all well and good, we're making more passes, we're keeping the ball better, but the basics just aren't happening for us at the moment? Is that sort of something we need to ask questions of the staff and the management at the moment?
Well, you can't keep doing the same thing every week and expect something to change. Because at the moment, we are doing the same thing every week. It's the same goals we're conceding every week. It's the same bodies. Like, if... I think I asked the question to the pod a few weeks ago, like, if we're going to go down, let's go down trying something. Because at the moment, we're not trying anything. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get onto Steve Morrison in a bit, but I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to start throwing managers under the bus this early, because there is some signs of some sort of improvement, but it just reminds me a bit of it was like under Harris. We had more of the ball, but we're not doing anything with the ball. We're still relying on set pieces to try and score goals. We're so weak defensively and we're just ponderous. There's no urgency. There's no energy. They just need to rocket up their arse, and I don't really know where that's coming from at the moment.
Is it an attitude issue then, do you think, with the boys?
Well, I made some notes earlier about it all, and I ended up writing like 3 pages because I was like, right, I've got a lot to get off my chest.
Christ, you're prepared, didn't you? We don't normally do that.
I didn't want to show myself up on my debut. Where does the blame fall? Because you look at like Steve Morrison's comments about, does it hurt enough, blah 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 blah, but is he doing enough to like motivate the players? Like, I think you look at like how bad it was when Warnock came in, and I don't want to beat the drum for Warnock. I'm not Warnock's biggest fan. I think he did an amazing job for us, but I mean, his shadow still looms very large over this squad. That last transfer window is looming very large over this squad. But what he was able to do when he came in was galvanize the squad and the players we had. You know, it was the same team we had under Trollope that he managed to, you know, go on a bit of a run, get us up the table. And Morrison hasn't been able to do that. Instead, he's digging them out in the press every week. Is that going to motivate them? I don't know. I don't think he's got the pedigree in the game that Warnock has. So I think there's a players issue. There's obviously issues with some players who probably aren't motivated. Dan mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of contracts running out. But I also think the management can't be blameless in it all, really, because, you know, they've got to also motivate the players to go out and play for them.
Yeah, I think, like, the thing with Morrison, he doesn't come across as a character to me when, you know, backs against the wall, he's going to fight your corner. And, you know, as a player, you want a manager who can motivate you. He, at the moment, he comes across as a manager who throws his toys at the pram. There's always an excuse. You know, he's blamed youngsters a couple of times. He's now blaming it on, like, simply just lack of effort and lack of heart and stuff. But, like you said, nothing is changing. Like, they go. There's 3 defenders out of position. But it also comes from nobody has pressed the pass. Mm. They've spliced straight through the middle of us. And like you said, it's been like that game after game after game. It hasn't been moments of magic from teams. It's been one straight pass, 20 metres straight through the centre of our midfield. And then our defenders, like, I've seen tugboats turn quicker than them. Like, they're just, it's bad to watch, but it feels like this air of deja vu week on week. And I think we've got to look at the management, you know. I know everyone's calling for, like, to drop the 5 of the back on Twitter, but there's a reason for it, because it's not worked. Mm. And we've got it's so frustrating watching it at the moment. And like, I'm normally such a positive football fan, and it's really just draining enjoyment out of it at the moment. It's just not a nice club to be around, from like across the board, not even on the pitch, off the pitch as well. It's as we'll probably come on to certain antics as well. It's a bad time for the club at the moment.
Yeah,
so I want to defend I think it's his first big job. He's finding it hard at the minute. He's coming to obviously a club which is in disarray at the minute. He's balance between getting the fans on his side, because you're seeing that with his comments in the press. We can make out he's blaming your youngsters, or he's going really he's digging holes for the senior lads as well. And yeah, I mean, the senior lads obviously been around for a lot longer than him. I've seen a lot more managers in that role, do the job, and maybe they don't fully back him. Maybe it is a player issue, but yeah, Morrison at the minute, I think he's suffering with a bit of man management. And you know, this is a player that's done many press conferences and you know, post match game interviews, so he's definitely media trained. So I do find it a bit strange that he's kind of being a lot more, I don't know what the word is, but in his press conference, you know, he's a lot more out there and he's taking risks with what he's saying. But he could be digging himself a big hole by continuing the way he is.
Yeah, is he taking risks, or is he just on the defensive constantly and not willing to sort of put his hands up? Because initially I thought it was a case of he's been a straight shooter, he's sort of saying things that players need to hear. But for me at the moment, there seems, like some of the boys said there, like there seems to be no real acknowledgement of his responsibility and sort of like this stuff that can be improved on from his end as well. It's sort of been, it's all the players, it's all down to them.
If you look at someone like Pep Guardiola, for example, when they drew against Southampton on the weekend, and he came out in his post-match interview in proper Pep bizarre fashion, where he says, he puts none of the blame on the players, doesn't dig out any of the players in the press. He says, we're great, we're excellent. But then, you know, as soon as he's finished that interview, he's going straight into the dressing room and he's telling the players exactly what he feels, exactly what he thinks went wrong. And those players are going to respect him for it. I don't think Morrison's the type of person to be able to kind of balance that out properly.
I don't think he's got the character for that, though, is he? Sort of, if he came out, sort of, you see that performance, he sort of came out and said, look, there's improvements, blah, 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 sort of tried the Pep Guardiola defence. I think he hasn't got the charisma to sort of get away with that. I think that's part of it. And he is stuck with that. But do you think that we'll come to your eyes. Do you think he needs to be smarter with the way he words things in press conferences? Is this stuff that said in the press conferences should be left in the changing room?
Yes and no. Like, we all ask for honesty from footballers, and how many times do we get, you know, media answers from footballers and managers? So there is a part of me that kind of likes the brutal honesty of it, but then it also pisses people off. And as soon as you piss the fans off, there's no coming back. As soon as McCarthy and the fans didn't click, that was the end for him. So that worries me. It'd be interesting to see what he's like with the media if we go on a run of games of positive results, although I don't see that for a long time. But I mean, he was also fighting a losing battle from the moment he came into the job, because when McCarthy was sacked, our bloody chairman comes out and says, we're not taking a risk on an under-23s manager. No way. And then 3 weeks later, he's got the job. Like, there's bigger, you know, how many times are we going to be in this position where we start questioning the players, the management, when it all comes down to the board? The reason we're probably playing five at the back is because someone at a higher level let McCarthy or whoever let go of all our wingers. We got rid of all our wingers in one window. You know, we got rid of Højlund, we got rid of Josh Murphy, we got rid of, Gavin White went on. I don't think they were good players. I don't think they were, at the time, the quality we needed. But we can't go and play like a 4-3-3 with wide men because we have no wide men. That's the issue with what I think, why we're stuck with playing this five at the back thing, because we've got no width in the team. But for a team who has no width, we ain't half open through the middle. So I don't know. I think there's so many factors in play, and you can point the finger at so many things, the players, the management, the board. It's just like this sort of perfect concoction of a team that's going to go down. You saw it with Sunderland. You've seen it with so many other clubs who have been in free fall. There's only one way we seem to be going at the moment. But yeah. Positivity.
You're echoing sort of stuff. Like, I've said it 100 times in this podcast this season that we're paying the price for years of mismanagement by those higher up, not just football the managers at the club, but sort of the higher up. Dan, how do you feel about it all? You sort of, Ryan's had his say, sort of, what's your views on how the club, not just this season, but sort of, it's been a long time coming, this sort of situation. What's your view on the whole thing?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with Ryan there, with Warnock transfers, and transfers before that as well. We've not really been a club that's done good business in the transfer window since. Dave Jones, I guess, and you could even argue then we were that great. It's only because we got Michael Chopper, Ross McCormack, and Jay Boffroy and Whittingham. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you look at no wingers. I think how can a team be direct and use big players who want to be on the end of crosses without wingers? I think it's silly. You can't have a 6'4" Kiefer Moore and James Collins in there with no one to put a decent delivery in apart from a long throw in a corner. I think with Tommy Doyle, it's going to be good because he's obviously of that pedigree, Man City, under 23 captain. I've heard some really good reviews from mates who are Man City fans. He can play at 6 and 8, which is good. But, like, you know, good quality in the middle of the park with nowhere to outlet it isn't really the recipe for success.
Fair enough.
I mean, you look at our last sustained period of success, which was Warnock's promotion season. And arguably the best players that season were the wingers, Hoylett and Mendes Lang. Absolutely tore it up that season. It was direct, but it wasn't long ball, was it? It was get to these super fast players that can attack a defender, get a ball in the box or cut inside and score themselves. And before that, someone like Kadeem Harris as well in that first Warnock season. I think we've just, Like Dan said, how can you have two big lumps up front but with no one to serve them? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I can't agree more that way, to be honest. You fucking nailed it. Tom, what do you think? Anything to add on that?
Part of me thinks as well, I don't know, like, obviously I agree with all that, so I'm not going to repeat all that, but part of me thinks with Morrison in charge now, he's getting away with it a little bit because it was so bad under McCarthy. And I think if it was any other tenure where it's been this bad for this many games, you'd be under a little bit more pressure. I don't think you're hearing too many murmurings of, like, getting rid of him or anything like that. And I don't think it's all his fault, but I think he's getting away with quite a bit. We're kind of concentrating on his press conferences and stuff like that at the moment, but I haven't seen too much really questioning his management style outside of the defence. And it's only a matter of time. I think, like we've said in the past few weeks, we're coming up to this block of games soon where we're playing all the teams around us, and it's massive for us. And we could be in real shit street if we don't get two or three results out of that block of games. And I feel like I keep looking at the calendar to see how far away we are from that block of games, almost writing off everything up to us. Like, in Forest, I would probably lose that. You know, Liverpool in the Cup, that's a nice day out, but we'll probably get battered in that. And then we've got the big games against Peterborough, Barnsley and stuff. And I genuinely am just waiting for that block of games at the moment, because I'm really, really nervous now. And I think we're kind of drifting into disaster, and there's been almost not kind of complacency, but there has been a bit of an attitude in our fan base going, we'll probably pull away from it. Mm. You know, at some point we'll pull away from it, but I don't see that happening at the moment. And yeah, but I think we're in big, big trouble.
Just quickly before, when we went go back on sort of talking about transfers and the board and mismanagement, it just came to me now, I was just trying to think, like, who do you think was our last great signing?
I think Kiefer has been that's an exception to it. I think the last
Mendes Lang and Etheridge for free in Warnock's summer.
There's veterans, isn't it? That's the thing. There's not like a big transfer plan where we've brought in like a block of players that have transformed it recently. I think we've had a few gems, and we've kind of got away with a couple. And you know, the promotion under Warnock came out of the blue a little bit. We brought in the old guard and it worked.
I think with the Warnock transfers that season, everything felt thought out. We need keepers. So we went out and got Etheridge. All right, we also pulled out Lee Camp, who turned out to be an absolute donkey and never played for us. But alongside that, Warnock had time to look at the club and go, right, we need a couple of wingers. So we got in Mendes, we got in Hoylett. It seemed like he had his target sort of lined up, ready to go, and sort of built around that. And it seemed like the club doesn't have an identity, but Warnock has clearly had a clear identity for the way he plays football. It's not direct, but it's very quickly gets to that final third, and that's where they play football. That's where the success came from. Since then, it doesn't feel like there's been a pattern of play. Like Harris, like we say Harris improved it, but I couldn't tell you what his game plan was. Yeah. McCarthy, it was just try and do the basics and hope we scrape a 1-0. And as good as sort of we are at keeping the ball under Morrison, I, can't really say there's an identity to our football. It's very nothing. It's sort of we do everything sort of the middle. We've got no idea at the back. We've got no idea going forward, going like in the last final third either. So it's not a case of sort of just, yeah.
Killing my Monday, this. I'm not going to.
Sorry, boys. Sorry. let's talk about happier things. So you look at the defence. I think the one great tackle that was made by any defender was made by Nelson for the third goal when he absolutely clattered Aidan Flint. I think
it was a comedy of errors, wasn't it?
If there's a goal that sums up our season, it's that final goal. Just Nelson, Flint just gets turned out of nowhere. And then Nelson decides to fly in for no reason instead of staying on his feet and takes out his own man.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It was so bad. And like no one in that defense came out looking good. Drama got done for the third goal. Weak. Yeah, McGuinness got sold. He got pulled out, didn't he, for the second goal?
Yeah.
And created that space. Flint, every time you go near Flint on the floor, he's just, you'll get sucked in. I do this every week in seven aside on a Wednesday. But, you know,
Why are you on a seven aside with Aidan Flint?
Well, I do it every week on a seven aside, but I can get away with that because it's seven aside and, you know, 15,000 people aren't paying to watch me every week. But yeah, it's every week, it's the same thing. Same mistakes by the same people, and come Sunday, I'm sure it'll be the same team.
Yeah, and the thing is, we've got players like McGuinness, right? We're saying there's a talent. You know, he could be a big player for us going forward, but you need someone alongside him who's solid because he has got that kind of naive mistake in him. He will rush out every now and again for every moment of brilliance. He might get caught out of position every now and again, but we haven't got that. We've got experienced players here who are just letting us down. And I was convinced this year that Nelson would be a big player for us. You know, he hardly missed a minute last season. And he was solid at times. He wasn't setting the world alight, but he looks completely devoid of any confidence. But I would be playing alongside Aidan Flint. Like he's got no one to trust around him at the moment either. And he looks like a fish out of water. It's just, we could go on about this for hours, about the defence. It's just a shambles, man.
With Nelson, obviously, there's a lot of questions on whether he's just not good enough for the level.
Yeah.
But like you said, he played pretty much every game last season. And him and Morrison, I thought, that's a solid centre-half pair in most last season. Is he just not suited to a three? Is it because he's playing on his weaker side? You know,
it's a side he played on. He's always, like, since he's been at the club, he's played on the left-hand side.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's harder.
Left of a three is different to left of a two, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
There's question marks over Nelson. I think the real issue is Flint, and obviously Morrison coming in for Flint is, you know, he hasn't covered himself in glory either. So I'm sure we'll get onto transfer once later, but those centre back options are just. I text my mates yesterday after Manga equalised for Gabon, and I said,
"Oh, that man!
Remember when we had
beautiful man,
prime Sean Morrison, Sol Bamba, and Manga as our centre back options? It feels like a long, long way away."
Oh, that's just depressed me even more. let's move on from the defence because we've hammered it enough now, and I feel bad. Let's hammer the midfield. Coming off it, one of the big things I saw at full time was, I think there was overall a lack of interaction with our fans, who will come onto a few of those in a bit. But Marlon Pack clapping his former team fans and our rivals before even acknowledging the City fans. Is that an issue for you boys? Do you think there's something that sort of, to me, it's sort of, once you've lost another derby and sort of the lack of commitment and you see a player going over to do that, it seems sort of shows that they don't understand the club. Dan, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, how many times is it going to happen? Like, how many these players have lost numerous derbies now, numerous big derbies. But at what point are they going to, you know, it's the same core squad, Flint, Pack, Nelson. Like, at what point are they going to understand how big these games are for the fans? Because at the minute, it doesn't seem like they do. I wouldn't usually make a big deal out of Marlon Pack, maybe because I think he had family in the crowd. But yeah, it obviously shows the frustration, the clear frustration that the fans have got with the players at the minute. There's no, the connect just isn't there. You know, the young players coming in bridged it quite nicely with the academy and the fans. You know, Mark Harris, when he scores, you know, there's a real connect between the fans and him, I think. But then there's other players who just don't look like they can be bothered with us. And I think that's going to be, that is a big problem for us. And it's something that we're going to need to address in this transfer window and absolutely in the next one.
Tom, what's your thoughts on it, mate? Marlon Pack's never been a fan's favourite. Do you think it's been blown up more because it's him? Or is this sort of a fair gripe with this that that goes to your own fans first?
I think it's just naivety, isn't it? More than anything, you know, there's no malice in it from him. You know, I know he used to play there and all that, but just think those things through. Probably just it happened to be where he was on the pitch as well. He was a bit of a distance away from the away. I'm sure if he was by the away fans, he wouldn't walk to the other side of the club and come back. You know, it's just one of those things that he hasn't thought through and has happened. But when there's, you know, problem after problem, it's those moments where those senior players have got to think things through. It's little moments like that. Just like we've said this over and over again, we keep, like, as fans, we are simple folks sometimes. We just want a little clap and a nod. And, you know, if you do it in the wrong order, it could be costly for a player, especially when, you know, the fans are on your back already. Because I like Marlon Pack. I think as a bloke, he's trying to do the right things. Most of the time, he says the right things as well. And he does come across like he cares. And then it's undone by something like that. And it is a real pity.
Right, what's the bigger issue? Him clapping the fans, the Bristol fans, or him cutting his hair? What was the real issue that people are angry about?
I mean, the haircut is a shame. I did like the long locks. But on the not clapping or clapping Bristol City fans first, you know what? I don't care because I don't care about Marlon Pack, which is sad because he's a Cardiff player. But I've just had, do you know what I mean? He came in, you know, that in that Warnock, the last summer of Warnock. Obviously, we missed the end of the season. We missed all of last season. I've got no connection with him. Do you know what I mean? If it was, you know, if we, you know, Kev McNaughton had done it, different story, you know? But he'll leave Cardiff this summer, more than likely. And I'll never probably think of him as a Cardiff player ever again because he's just done... there's no...
What's your magic Marlon Pack moment? Even Flint's got a header against Swansea. Yeah, it's like he's got nothing.
It sounds terrible, but I just don't care. I just do not care about. Do you know what I mean? He's got nothing that has really redeemed him to Cardiff fans, and he's not the only one. There's 10 names in that squad probably that I just won't care when they leave. It's not even like it's a shame they've left, or even thank God they've left. It's a whatever.
The kind of players that you 10 years time you're scrolling through Wikipedia and going, oh God, I forgot they played for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he have 100 games? Like you do get a few, don't you? But like you said, there's a lot of them in that squad at the moment. It doesn't help that we were out of the ground for a while and things because you can't build that rapport. But...
Yeah, that's definitely a part because there's a few players in there. Like, obviously, I completely forget that I didn't see Kiefer Moore play for Cardiff until this season. You know, we missed the whole season of him playing for Cardiff.
It's terminal. We never saw Harry Wilson play in front of
Cardiff. Yeah, exactly. So there is that. And I will sort of give them that benefit of the doubt for some of them because, like I said, you know, we only saw, 6 to 8 months of Pack playing for Cardiff before... before we were in lockdown, so that hasn't helped the connection. But again, there's just nothing. I've got no feelings. Complete apathy.
From apathy to complete fuck knucklery. Let's talk about the City fans and their actions. I'm not sure. Some people are saying it's pre-game. Some people are saying it's like after the game. But what's going through people's heads? There's two things that are going through blow my mind about the video is. City fans trashing the toilets in Ashton Gate. The away toilets, the toilets they use, makes no sense to me. The second thing that makes no sense to me is if you're causing criminal damage, why are you filming it with everyone's faces in full view?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I've got some thoughts and feelings on it. I think, first of all, I don't think... I mean, it's completely the Cardiff fans' fault, But it doesn't help when the police didn't give Cardiff fans anywhere to go before the game. There was no designated away pub. So what happens when you stick 2,000 lunatics in a concourse with beer? They're just going to play fuck, which happens. Look, Cardiff fans have never been angels. We've got our fair share of nutters, but it isn't a Cardiff City problem. I was reading an article about how arrests in football are up massively since fans have come back. There's probably a variety of reasons in here. We could go very deep into the government and obviously people being locked up. I'm not a sociologist, so I'm not going to try and get into it. But Cardiff aren't the only problem. Look at Everton fans against Villa chucking stuff on the pitch. Do you mean that happened a while ago? But before lockdown, there was very few incidents like this that would happen. So I don't think, I mean, it's obviously a dumb thing to do and absolutely should be condemned and it shouldn't happen. But I just hope people in the media don't start trotting out this, it's only Cardiff fans, because it's definitely not only Cardiff fans. There's a societal issue that's going on across the football world and probably across all aspects of life. That's probably too deep to go into on a Cardiff City podcast. But yeah, it is fucking idiotic. Like you said, Ben, especially people filming it. Like, come on. The police aren't thick, are they?
Well, I
mean, they are thick sometimes, but they're not that thick.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it's just, it was always going to be our club would have to pay for it. Mm. Like, it was only ever going to affect us. And like you said, that's where we have to go to the toilet, not them. Those home fans are never going to see it unless they go and watch the rugby team. Like, it's just bizarre. It's just, we've been on these derby games. You know, you get into Bristol, instantly the police pen you in. They slowly march you to the ground, which is absolutely miles away from the train station. You often miss kickoffs, and sometimes it feels like they're trying to prod at the fan base and trying to get a reaction. And ultimately, you get it at the end of the day. Like, they move kickoff times about, you know. It never helps putting it earlier. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you know, it's for police reasons, we move it earlier. And then things still get trashed. Like, just stop treating football fans like animals, and eventually they'll stop acting out like them as well. Like, but, you know, I'm not condemning it. It is idiotic from our fan base, and we have got that element in it. We're just trying to, like, cause problems. But just help the fans, like, stop treating them like penned animals.
And the thing is, next time we go to Bristol now, it'll be like a voucher exchange game where we have to go on buses. So, you know, we've pissed on our own chips there. And, you know, it's you're not going to be able to get the train to Bristol next season, probably. And I don't know what it is, but since they changed that end in Ashton Gate where they moved it, when obviously away fans were at the other end, weren't they, before they redid the stadium? And by that park, I don't know if it's the park that just creates violence, but Swansea had a load of trouble there just before lockdown, didn't they? There was real bad trouble there. And obviously there was trouble after the game. So I don't know if it's just Ashton Gate seems to be a bit more of a easier place to have trouble. But I mean, before...
Ideal point for a meeting point, isn't it? It's you get a lot of it. I think the last time I was there, we were coming out and you could see there was, you know, the sort, fake Stone Island, like 18, 19, just stood in the park, just waiting for trouble.
Yeah.
Sort of, I'm there with my missus. I'm there with my mate. He's with his missus as well. The last thing we want to be doing is getting involved with that. Like, my missus can get a bit leery after a couple of pints, but fuck me, even she's not going to go in windmilling into a bunch of young lads like that. It's... But yeah, you are right. The sort of area itself doesn't help things. And I think the way the police handle it really... Well, there was a couple of City fans, one stopped to do a shoelace up and got pepper sprayed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just looking to just cause trouble then, aren't you?
Because at the other end of Ashton Gate, I remember when we were... Probably the last time we went there, when it was the other side, it was the first time since we started playing Bristol City regularly again that there was no restrictions. And I remember getting off the bus and that side, they've got like... they got the KFC, they got a retail park, that sort of thing. It'd be like getting off outside the grandstand. And Cardiff fans just sort of dispersed into, like, some people went to get food, some people went in the ground. Whereas it's so focused on that area that it just, for whatever reason, since they've moved that way, it's just got worse in terms of trouble. But I mean, there's probably a lot of factors for that.
Fair. Right, let's move on from the game. I'm bored of talking about this game now. I'm bored of the let's keep it positive. Let's try and do something positive. But there was a thing went up on Twitter. I think it was a second tier posted. Without point deductions, we would be 5 points from safety. Boys, I'll put out to you. How much trouble are we actually in here?
I think it all depends on these next two games. Next three games, sorry. Forest, yeah, as you could expect with the way we're playing at the minute, isn't one that we should be looking forward to, especially with the Brennan Johnson playing so well for them as well. But I think the two after, Peterborough, and I'm not sure the other one is, can't remember. But the teams in and around us, we need to be getting the points so we can get out and away from this relegation fight. But we are very much in it at the minute. And yeah, you know, like Tom was saying earlier, those that block of fixtures could really decide our season. I was looking on Twitter as well, you know, about this FA Cup game. Yeah, you know, scoring that late extra time goal for Mark Harris against Preston was a nice blessing, a nice boost, but it didn't really build a platform for us. We didn't go on and win any other games after that. And now we've got to go up and play against, you know, one of the best teams in the UK at the minute, in England, in Liverpool. And we have four, you know, those players aren't going to want to shy away from playing one of the best teams in England as well. So, we're not exactly putting ourselves in the best position, and I definitely think we're in big trouble.
Tom, you've sort of, was it the season you gave us plucky fifth, wasn't it? You said.
Yeah. Don't want, yeah.
I just like bringing it up. I just like any chance I get now, I'm just going to bring it up. I said mid-table, and even that's looking like a bad shout, to be fair. Do you think Derby the one sort of looking to push out of it, if any team's going to get out of it. Are we fucked? Are we relying on Derby taking Rooney to Everton?
I think we're obviously benefited from the points deductions and the fact that Barnsley, who were hotly tipped at one point as well, you know, that they've been very, very poor. I think it's like the second worst record at this stage of a season of any team in the Championship has had. You know, we are benefiting from there being poorer teams. But, you know, it wasn't just me who said fifth. Like, the bookies had us up there as well. You know, because we've always been kind of there or thereabouts over the last, like, we've been spoilt really as fans really over the last decade or so in terms of league positions. But now, yeah, I think we are in big trouble, because if Derby carry on playing the way they are, you know, they're going to pull themselves out of it. And we've got them last game of the season. We've still got to play them twice because we've got a rearranged fixture with them. You know, we've got, I think Ewan Roberts was saying it on a Feast of Football, we're playing like in the last few, like five games of the season, like a lot of them are from the bottom eight of the table. We've got some big, big fixtures coming up. And normally it's like, okay, you're playing the teams around you, it's a chance to get points. But I'm looking at it now thinking it's a chance for them to get points to catch up with us. Because I just don't see us getting results. Even when we started playing well in games, we're not getting anything from them. You know, even like Blackburn at home, we played all right at times, but we still got nothing from it. And that's the thing, we've lost that winning mentality. One clean sheet all season, you can't stay up with a record like that. And that was the second game of the season. It's 24 games in a row now without keeping a clean sheet. Like, you can't expect to stay up with a record like that. And you know, I think we are in real big trouble. And, you know, just looking at Derby's record, like before the loss on the weekend, they'd won three and drawn one in their last four games.
They'd be top half if it wasn't for that points deduction.
That's the thing, like, you can't rely on a team like that staying below you, no matter how many points you take off them. So I think, you know, we've got to be very, very careful, because I think we're in a very precarious position at the moment.
I think we might benefit from Peterborough being quite sensible with their manager, because they don't seem to sack managers. I think Darren Ferguson, I think it's his second spell there. But if they sacked their manager, for example, brought someone in and they got a bit of a bounce, that would be enough to probably keep them up at this rate.
Well, they've just given him a new contract, haven't they?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So if I don't think they will, which means they probably will just sort of trundle on, maybe pick up a few points here and there. Obviously, they've got to play us in a couple of weeks and they've got a game in hand. So obviously, if they win those two, then we're in the relegation zone. I didn't realize it was as bad as you said, that we were, would be 5 points off safety. And 5 points feels massive now.
Yeah.
Like, I would kill you for a 0-0. Like, do you know what I mean? How many times have we watched Cardiff draw 0-0 over the years and got so frustrated with it? But I would take a 0-0 against Forest on Saturday. I'd take it against Barnsley. Like, it's got to that stage now where every single point is massive. And yeah, I mean, on our podcast, how many times at the start of the season we've sort of said, Cardiff aren't doing very well, but they're too good to go down. You know, that isn't the case anymore. We should be going down on based on current form. And I bloody worry so much if we go down, because the state of our club from the top to the bottom isn't in a good place to go down, because it will destroy us. But we might have some new grounds to visit next year. So that's a small silver lining. I'd rather have a club because Derby County might not exist by the end of the season if you know the last week is to be believed. So I think staying up is the absolute priority now. I don't want to say it, but I would bring in a firefighter, you know, just to keep us up, as long as they didn't keep him on after the end of the season, because we are in dire straits now. And if we do go down, then we're only going one way after that, and we're not coming straight back up, because we won't. That isn't how it works anymore with a club like ours. So yeah, we something needs to change, and it needs to change straight away, because if we go into that international break in March in the state we're in now or worse, then we're doomed, because you come out of that, we play Swansea straight away, and then you've got Reading, Hull, Luton, Sheffield United, Birmingham and Derby to stay up, and they may be down there with us, but I don't fancy us against any of those sides.
Oh God.
this is the worst Cardiff City team, or worst situation Cardiff City have been in since I started watching in the year 2000.
I completely agree. I can't remember a time when it's been like, I've been spoiled as a Cardiff fan and a Wales fan, to be honest. Yeah. Like, a little bit of a block with a Wales fan that was atrocious.
Yeah.
But like, as a football fan, I've never really gone through like a sustained period of shit.
Yeah.
Really. And this feels like it at the moment.
Because I'm a massive nerd. In my notes on my phone, I've got every season I've watched Cardiff and how they finished.
Fantastic.
I remember a few years after going up against QPR, I think it was our second season in the Championship, I remember us having a bit of a relegation issue, but we finished 16th that season.
That's our lowest finish in the Championship, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the lowest I've ever... So my first season, we were promoted from Division 3, now League 2, and then we went up 2 years later again. So the lowest I've seen us finish since we were promoted in 2003 was 16th in the Championship. And there is no way we're going to get anywhere near that this season.
Dizzying heights of plucky 16. Oh, God, right. The transfer window's ending in what? 8 days, I think it is, from today. What's your hopes? What's your fears? What do you think's going to happen? And how disappointed are you on the final day when Kiefer Moore inevitably goes to Burnley? Dan, we'll start with you, buddy.
I think, yeah, there's quite a few scenarios that could pop up, and I think Kiefer leaving, I think, is looking pretty likely, as much as I'd hate to say. I think we'd be lucky to get 3 million for him. Bournemouth is what I've been hearing, 3 million. Burnley would be silly not to go in for him after losing Chris Wood, 25 mil. We've got the money now to spend, and it'd suit them perfectly. Not that I hope... Burnley fans aren't listening, anyway. But I'd like to bring in wingers, get Murphy back. You know, even Gavin White, maybe.
He's done nothing at Oxford, though. I know we're sort of saying that, but even without wingers, I think we're better off than Gavin White. Gavin White is the most anonymous football player in the world.
I don't know, though. At least it gives us an option. At the moment, we own these players, so we might as well use them. We haven't got much at our disposal, so at least use what we actually have. And I think, you know, try something. They haven't worked with our current manager. Bring him in, see what they can do. If it, like you said, it's already working from Oxford. So, you know, bring him back. They're not going to want to keep him either, but at least try something, because we're not going to be able to afford to bring anyone in from on a permanent signing, probably. We're going to be raiding the loan market and trying to pluck people from elsewhere. So at least pluck our own players.
Well, it looks like Giles will be back as well, potentially. So at left back, we may have some more cover, because at the minute it's literally looked like an open flesh wound at left back. It's just been, it looks terrible. So we need Giles back and creativity as well. But I think Morris has done well in terms of the loan signings he's made. Doyle, you know, he's great stock player, and he's been, you know, pedigree wise, he's from the top. So, and then obviously Drama as well has been Bielsa wanted him to stay at Leeds. So I think that's a good coup for us to get him. And if we can get Giles back as well, who's proven this season with the assists and the creativity he's shown, we will be in much better stead. But then, yeah, I think, you know, I'd like to see some more of Wintle. He's played brilliantly to start first half of the season. I think he's a lot better than some of the options we've got in the middle of the minute, form-wise anyway. But yeah, I mean, if we let all these players go that are running out of contract at the end of the season, I read somewhere that we'll be saving something like £8 million a year. So that's going to be massive towards what our transfer policy is going to be next season if we stay up. But yeah, I think it's very limited what Morrison can do. Let's hope he can get the best out of these players. I mean, we've got quality youth as well that just needs good leadership from the players that are already there, the experienced players, and an opportunity to play in that team.
Right, what's your thoughts?
I mean, I've been banging on about rebuilding the team, changing the style of play from the top to the bottom of the club. But we can't do that I'd rather us do that in the Championship than in League One. And right now, it goes against everything I've been saying over the last 5 or 6 seasons. We've got to think short term. And there is a basis of good young players at the in the squad, which is great. And like Dan said, we've brought in some really good loan players, which I'm really happy with. Something we haven't done in the last few seasons is utilise the loan market very well. But we need some sort of battle-hardened, experienced lads now to come in and just galvanise the dressing room a bit. I mean, we'll get on to Forest in a bit, but I noticed they brought Steve Cook in from Bournemouth. Like, there's a player who's played over 350-odd games for Bournemouth.
It's a ridiculous sign-in.
Yeah, like, that is the sort of sign-in that we might need. Maybe not that level, but like, give someone a 6-month contract, let them, and say, you know, if you do impress, stick around. You know, I mean, I don't really have many names at the top of my head, but because I don't really know a lot of players who aren't playing the situation, but that's what we need now, I think, because staying up is the only priority, and then we can start rebuilding in the summer. And think maybe a bit more long-term. But let's just get some players through the door. I've got a centre-back written down because the centre-backs aren't good enough. And if we're going to go to a 4 at the back, then I don't know who I'd pick to play alongside McGuinness. So I think we need a centre-back. We definitely need a left-back. How did we let Joe Bennett go? I know he was injured when we only had one left-back at the club, which was a 20-year-old who barely played a season of... I don't even know if Bagan's 20. He must be around that age.
He just turned 20, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. So, that again, what an oversight. I know they brought Giles in to play left wing back, but still, he's not a left back, is he? It doesn't give you an option then to switch to forward the back. So, I think those two. And then, obviously, there's the Kiefer thing. If he does go, James Collins isn't good enough to lead the line by himself. Max Waters, who knows? He's a bit of a wild card. I'm happy for us.
Well, but yeah, again, his thing is, we've said along, he's got, unlike Collins, he's got to have half chances, like something cut out for him. He's not going to pop up with a header out of nothing.
Yeah.
I say that's literally what he did on Saturday.
Yeah. So maybe not strikers, because maybe those two, if they can grab 5 goals each between now and the end of the season, that's massive. But it's the service, like Dan said, wingers, just... You know, I mean, how much do we miss a Mendes Lang or a Højlund again? Let's get Kadeem Harris back from the Ukraine or wherever he's playing at the moment.
He's had a lovely time out there, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, until Russia invades.
You know, the race. Russia invades. Yeah.
But, you know, that's the sort of player we need, like this sort of fast, direct, pacey guy who can get to the byline and knock the ball in for, you know, like exactly what Isaac Davis did against Huddersfield. That's the sort of thing we need to be doing more. And maybe we should start trusting Colwill and Isaac Davis, who have shown glimpses. Like, trust them. Throw them in.
You know. Isn't that why Colwill wasn't on the bench for the Bristol game?
I mean, he must have had a knock if that was the case. We can't be leaving players Colwill out of the squad. No. There'd be serious questions asked if that was the case.
Strange one. Yeah. Right, we'll go from our meltdown to the Twitter meltdown.
Good stuff.
As usual, at VFT Ninian for your questions. We'll start with good old Gonzo McKenzie. As we slide towards the bottom three and Excel only smashing up toilets, how depressing is it the complete invisibility of our owner, CEO and chairman? Will they magically appear at Anfield? And if so, how should we show our appreciation for their efforts? Tom?
I'm sick of speaking about these idiots, but yeah, it's just considering how bad things are. They only pop up when they've got something to say, when something's going well, or they want to stick their oar in some wider issue that's nothing to do with our club. And it's just because we've just come accustomed to it now. It's what you expect from them. And I wouldn't be surprised if we did just see them roll themselves out at Anfield.
Dalman is going to appear on TalkSport the week leading up the Liverpool game at least twice and say something stupid.
Yeah, it's just what we expect from them now. And that's the depressing thing about it. But in terms of what we could do as fans, to be honest with you, I'd rather concentrate on cheering on the players in the game, because I'm not being funny. As a board, as an ownership, they're not going to take a blind bit of notice what we say. They change the colours of the club when people are, you know, they're not going to start, you're like paying attention to us now, are they? So I think, you know, just get behind the players on the on the pitch and, you know, hope for an upset.
Yeah, I mean, that time we went to Liverpool and sang about Malky Mackay for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then they sacked him a week later anyway. So they're not going to, who's that new lad on the board or the director who only tweets about other football clubs?
Anything other than the club he's on the board
of. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a Liverpool fan as well.
Yes,
I followed him. He was doing my fucking head in.
Yeah, I saw him tweet like saying, you know, how glad he was that this draws happened. So these are the sort of people that are running our club. They're just bloody chancers who are just, you know, like most football clubs. Anyway, I mean, this is again another wider issue, you know, the ownership of football clubs. But we'll go nowhere. We're going nowhere with the people in charge, and we'll continue to go nowhere with the people in charge. Warnock fluke to promotion. Down to him. It was down to you. The board can take whatever credit they can. That was down to Warnock. And the fans as good as appointed Warnock. As soon as Trollope went, every single Cardiff fan was out there saying, Warnock, Warnock, Warnock. He was the only man Cardiff fans wanted. So Cardiff fans as good as appointed him. I've got no faith in them. I don't care if Tan takes his money out now, because what's the worst that can happen? Well, what is the worst that can happen? But you know, we're in a lot better position than a lot of football clubs are. We still own our football. We still own our ground, which is massive. So it's not going to be the end of the world as long as whoever takes it on isn't another chancellor. But I've got nothing good to say about them. Dalman is just an absolute cockroach of a bloke.
I'd have left out the word roach, to be honest, but you know.
Yeah, and that word as well. But yeah, he'll only pop up when it suits him. No doubt you might have a moan about there being no replays, because that's a payday that they'll miss out on.
As if we're getting a fucking draw.
Yeah, that's positive thinking. Well done.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of nonsense that Dalman will come up with anyway. You know, it's all, you know. It's the thing that annoys me most, especially about Dalman, especially about him, is every time you see him speak about the fans, it's always like they're doing us a favour. It's always, we keep the club going. We keep the club afloat. You know, we're doing this for you. You should be pleased for us, which is absolute bollocks. It's the other way around. Because if we walked out, all 20,000 of us who go every week, you know, that club's nothing. That club's a shell of a club. You know, it's just another football club. what makes Cardiff special is the fans. It's not the team, because the team hasn't... There's been nothing to be proud about of that football team for a long time, other than maybe a blip of 1 year in the last 10. You know? We are a shell of a club, and it's because of the owners. And if they think that they're doing us a favour, then they're completely wrong, because without us, they wouldn't have this little cash cow that they're, whatever they're doing. I mean, they've got to be getting something out of it, haven't they? Money or something. There's got to be some money there.
Yeah, there's no way someone like Mehmet Darman's doing this out of the goodness
of his heart. Yeah, exactly. And that's what he tries to get across, as if it's we're some sort of charity case, and without them and Vincent's bloody money, then we'd be nothing. But
it's,
you know,
the thing though, isn't it? It's Vincent's money. It's not his money. It's not Ken Chu's money. Yeah. They've not gone out and sought other investment, which is clearly needed in the club. To be honest, Darman and Chu, if the club went bust, I don't think it would affect them. There's no repercussions for them, isn't there? There's no financial thing there. All right, they might miss out on a couple of bonuses, but look, their car dealership's doing well enough. I'm sure Darman's got his friend Boris doing him a fucking couple of cutbacks somewhere. He's probably got some PPE contracts or something, allegedly. Just cut my ass there. But yeah, you're spot on. We'll move from that. Dan, we'll come to you for this one. James Roberts asks, how sad does it make you know the Jacks will do the double over us? On the game, do you think we would have a better chance of winning with no defenders? Should we adopt a 0-5-5 formation?
Oh dear, that's depressing, isn't it?
I mean, we're months away from the target.
We are quite a way away from it. But yeah, they could well do it, and I say this every season anyway, that they can easily do it. But it's eventually going to happen, isn't it? You know, it'll sum up the pandemic in 2020 post era perfectly. But we, you know, we're still in lockdown and the Jacks do the double over us, so we're just living in a nightmare, aren't we? But yeah, I mean, something needs to change in terms of the tactics. We've said this earlier on the pod. If we go from a 5 to a 4, we're still gonna have the same problems. We're just gonna have one less shit defender to come, you know, to make the mistake.
But what James has suggested, and I think it's bold, it might pay off, is to get around the problem of deciding whether we are 3 at the back or 2 at the back, we play none at the back. And I think that's brave. Could this be the next football revolutionary sort of idea?
The anti-Mick McCarthy from 6 at the back to none at the back.
Exactly. I quite like it. I'm intrigued. I think, look, I don't think it's worth a... I think it's worth a go. I think James could be the next Pep Guardiola.
Tell you what.
Attack is the best form of defence, as they say.
Yeah, try it a Rodgerson thirds and let us know how it goes.
Okay, we haven't got an attack or a defence. Someone called Ben James asks, what do you miss most about me? It's the way your moustache feels for me.
I'm still missing some...
Make it weird, tonight.
I'm still missing some footballs that he booted over the fence against...
Mark Carter asks, can we clone Doyle here? And while he's at it, can we clone 11 of them, having 11 of him on the pitch wearing different wigs? The question there is, do we really have to have them wearing wigs, or can we not just register them as Doyle 1 and Doyle 2?
I remember once, a slight tangent. Remember we had Alan Wright on loan? I think he was a fullback. I think he might have come from Doncaster. Tiny bloke, bald. Remember him? I think he came for like a month or two.
When was that?
It must have been Dave Jones. I think probably about 2007, 2008, maybe around that time. And for some reason, me and my mate were obsessed with him. So we used to, which is sort of hilarious, because we made a team of Alan Wright's on Pro Evolution Soccer, and would play people. He must have been about 5'6" and really bald. So yeah, maybe we can do that, test them out. Team of Tommy Doyle's.
Tell you what, say 7 appearances, 2006, 2007 for Cardiff. That's great knowledge.
Was he on loan from Doncaster? Well, I don't know why Doncaster rings a bell.
No, so he was on loan from Sheffield United. But
Red and white.
There you go. But he went to Doncaster. He left.
Oh, there we are.
Tell you what, you're not far off.
Oh,
this is the bloke who then said earlier on, I'm going to be questioning if I remember Marlon Pack.
And yeah. Hey, Alan Wright made more of an impression on me than Marlon Pack ever has.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Oliver Rees keeps up with the cheery theme. For the first time this season, I genuinely have relegation fears. We just look so dysfunctional and lacking any creative spark. Dyer looks like another lone player we fall in love with and end up in tears come May when they leave. Completely agree. James Roberts chips in again with a picture that we spoke about for the second goal. The caption's beautiful. I mean, what the fuck is this defending? And yeah, I'll retweet that later. And yeah, it sums it up beautifully. Sorry, maintenance decided to go slow, so I can't load any more because I'm professional. Kian asks, what are your thoughts about the fans' short-termism? Seeing some awful shouts of Warnock in, etc. But I personally think the issue is the personnel at the club, not the manager. Right, you sort of brought it up and said, look, you possibly look at bringing someone in short-term. You're saying sort of looking at changing manager or bring someone in short-term to assist?
No, I think that's me sort of talking a bit in hyperbole there, but like, we got to give Morrison the seat. They gave him the contract. I mean, they wouldn't be probably able to afford to pay out his contract and then bring someone else. I don't know who there is to bring in anyway. Do you know what I mean? Definitely, you don't go back, do you? You don't go back to Warnock. You don't go back to someone like that. It never works out. It never works out. So, but I think in terms of how we need to look at the squad this for the rest of this week or whatever in building is short term. Give a few people 6 month contracts. Like, I don't know. Give them sort of low wages and high bonuses, that sort of thing, just to get some bodies in and just chuck everything at it now because, and then rebuild in the summer. Because regardless of what happens this summer, we're losing, what, 8-9 players, say if they give one or two of them a contract, and that might be a little bit speculative.
It's going to be so, Bacuna, isn't it? It's going to be Bacuna.
No.
It has to be Rowles. If there's one of them, it has to be Rowles. So there's an opportunity come in. Like, I'm not, I don't think I'm completely out to the, like, I don't think we need to be worried too much long term, because there's an opportunity come in to shift out a load of dead wood. But we've also got to bring in the right personnel then. And that needs a football person on the board, that needs a management who knows exactly how they want to play. And maybe Morrison does have a style, but he's limited by personnel. Again, you know, there's so many different points, fingers to blame. I don't really know exactly where it is, but I think we've got to think short-term in transfers. I'm not talking about sacking Morrison yet. That would just be Watford-like, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And bringing in, I don't know, Chris Houghton for 5 months, or dare I say it, Tony Pulis.
Even mention that Scrotum's name.
Because the thing is, if we did bring him in and he kept us up, you know, they'd just give him a four-year contract at the end of the season.
McCarthy, isn't it?
Exactly. We shouldn't be in this position now, because what they should have done last season was bring in McCarthy, steady the ship, then go for the long term. Because you can't bring in someone and try and build long-term in the middle of a season, especially in the middle of a season like we're in now. Because there is going to be like a period where you aren't going to perform, you know? So it's got to be, let's fix this issue now. Let's just tape over the crack and worry about replacing it in the summer.
So short-termism, I found the ideal person. Greg Halford is currently playing for Waterford, so what we're saying is get Greg Halford back in.
Yeah, get him in.
Ben James pops up again.
Positions.
Ben James pops up again. I'm going to block him. I met a guy here whose friend listens to the podcast. Of course you did. Can you guess which one of us he said is the most annoying? No comment. Daniel Morgan. Oh, this is a question for you boys. I like this one. So when this came in, I got excited. Would you rather Cardiff get relegated, but Wales qualify for the World Cup, or Cardiff stay up, but Wales don't qualify? Dan, I'll come to you first on this.
Why'd you have to come to me first? That's a horrible question. I honestly couldn't say. I would probably end up saying Wales don't qualify, and I'd get murdered for it. But yeah, I feel like the repercussions of a club in this environment, who's been losing so much money, going down to League One, could be the end, you know, could be the end of the club. So I would have to say, as much as it would pain me to not see Wales go to a World Cup, yet, with Bale and Ramsey potentially. So, yeah, I'd probably have to say Cardiff stay up.
Tom? Say it, because I think I know which way you're going to go, and I think I'm the same as you.
I can't say this as a host of a Cardiff podcast, can I? But I don't know. I think even if we did go down, we'd be okay long term. I think it would be bad for a while. And to be honest, I'd give anything to see Wales qualify for a World Cup. I think as a person, I'm very much country first before club. And I think it would have been closer, say, 10 years ago, when I think like some enjoyment has been sucked out of the club a little bit with everything that's gone on with rebranding and things like that. So I don't think it'll ever be quite the same as it once was. Obviously, I don't want Cardiff to go down. Like, I'd be absolutely distraught. But I think the high of seeing Wales qualify for a World Cup would paper over the cracks very, very temporarily.
It's easy for me. I'm country over club every time.
Yeah,
I would take the World Cup over Cardiff. My relationship with Cardiff over the last 5 or 6 years has changed completely from what it used to be. I think that's definitely helped by Wales being good
at
football, and I get a lot more fulfillment from that. I've got involved with my local Cymru Premier side over the last year or so, and I get so much more from that. This season, there's been numerous occasions where I've chosen to go and watch Penobont over Cardiff because I just get a lot more. I watched them on Friday night and then watch Cardiff on TV on Saturday, and it's just chalk and cheese. So I love Cardiff, and I will always love Cardiff. And there's people who probably listened, I care a lot, and I think the club can do so much, but it's just nowhere near what it could or should be and what it used to be at the moment. And there's, just a lot of apathy, but also just a lot of anger towards them. So country over club for me, because I would get a lot more out of watching Cardiff, watching Wales in a World Cup than another season in the Championship with Cardiff.
I'm completely same as you two guys. For me, I want to enjoy my football. I want to feel part of a community. I want to just have a good time when I go there. And the difference in going to watch Wales play and watching Cardiff play in the last couple of years has been just polar opposites. I can't wait to get to the stadium for the Wales game. Just even around it, going for a couple of pints in town before, or going for a pint in Canton even before that. It's just the atmosphere, the buzz and everything that goes with it. Sort of, I can't wait for international breaks now. Whereas we're coming up to this, and it's not just because we're doing crap, but there's a lot of them. Cardiff has become such a struggle to deal with that you look at the attendances, people are walking away from it now and sort of saying, like, this is too much effort. It's not what I'm after. The world's bad enough. I don't need shit thrown from me from what's supposed to be my hobby and my enjoyment.
So, yeah, it's what happens when people, when organizations listen to their fans, right? And that's what Wales, the FAW, have done really well, where they didn't do it well before. Like, they was awful for a long, long time. But now, the way they embrace the fans, they get them involved in everything, the way just little things like getting involved, like much more active with the Welsh language and things like that as well. And they just, they listen and they take things on board. They try things. And, there's a sense of community, and you don't get a sense of community with Cardiff at the moment. And that's why I'm sure it is for Ryan, like going to Penobont, you get that, you got like people, you speak to the people you recognize every game, you're close to the players. They recognise you and things like that. And it's just better fan experience. And, and Cardiff can get back to that, if they start listening to the fans and stuff again. But it's been far from that for a while.
Yeah, like following Ben. Go on, sorry, Dan.
It's all about engagement, isn't it? Oh, you sort of look back to it and you sort of go, well, we'll go back to the charity game you did, right? The Alternative Wales thing. We've spent 20 minutes lambasting the sort of board at Cardiff saying that they're not visible. The only time they're there is when there's something in it for him or in it for them. The CEO of the FAW came and had a kickabout with us and played half a game of football with the supporters group and Alternative Wales, got involved with the banter. We had a lovely conversation.
Yeah. You gave him some stick for not giving you a job.
Yeah, I did threaten to do him. And to be fair, he took it. He laughed about it. Yeah. It was sort of like, he was quite funny with it.
He was at Penobont. He was on Penobont on Friday. I had a quick chat with him on Friday. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the accessibility of that is brilliant. And like, Cardiff could be that. Like, we are such a unique football club. And I've said it to people before, and it may be like pie in the sky stuff, but we've got the potential to be one of the biggest football clubs in Britain, because our catchment area is like no other catchment area in the country. I think us and Swansea and probably Wrexham as well, maybe not even Wrexham because of how close they are to Liverpool and Manchester. We are so unique that we can attract fans. Like, Tom, you're from Carmarthen.
Yeah.
Like, how, that's 50, 60 miles away from Cardiff and you're a Cardiff fan. Like, for some reason, Swansea have quite a core fan base within. I think that's changed slightly now since they had the success in the Premier League. But, you know, there's Cardiff fans in Llanelli. I know Cardiff fans from Fishguard, you know? Yeah. Like, we are in such a unique position as a Welsh. And Sam Amam had these big ideas of making us this sort of club of Wales, which might have been a bit too much, you know? And, I mean, in an absolute dream scenario, we'd be like the, you know, the Athletic Bilbao of Wales and bring through these brilliant talents, Welsh talents and stuff. And I'm not saying go that far and only sign Welsh players, but there is such a potential year. And as an investment opportunity as well, it's a capital city. It's a growing capital city, whether we like it or not, in terms of, you know, funding and stuff. There's a lot going on in Cardiff in terms of there's a lot of money being pumped into Cardiff. And there's a football club that no one in... Do you mean you walk around Cardiff City Centre and you wouldn't know there's a football club, you know? Newport County have a shop in Friars Walk. Cardiff City's one went years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Last one in town was in St. David's, wasn't it? And it felt it was there a season, the lease ran out and they never bothered renewing it.
Yeah, like there's no... I mean, I spoke to Yusuf on the pod about the mural, obviously, which is, again, another disgraceful thing that happened this week. But what he also spoke about is the club not using the area that's around them. You got Fitzalan High School on the doorstep of the ground, and no one from the club ever goes there. Like that school probably serves, you know, I think it serves Grangetown, Canton, Riverside, which I hazard a guess at like maybe 10,000 people. I don't know. That could be completely off, but there's a huge, huge amount of people there, and I don't see them. I live in Grangetown now. I don't see people walking around in Cardiff shirts.
Glamorgan have got a hub in Fitzalan. They've gone in and done a cricket education program there. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they haven't got the clout that Cardiff City have. And like you said, you've got that catchment area that goes as far as Carmarthen and stuff. But when you're not embracing the people who can literally see the ground from their house,
yeah, exactly.
Then you've got a major, major problem as an organisation. It's not
the club, though. That sums up the club perfectly. They've neglected the fan base for so long, it's really starting to come back and bite them on the arse.
Yeah.
I mean, Wales sort of academy, you're sort of saying, embracing these schools. Juventus have had an academy, this came up with the PSG academy, it's opening up in South Wales in a couple of months. Juventus have had one for years. Why we're not in those schools, and the only thing we do is sort of with the community foundation, which, to be honest, the foundation does a brilliant job with the stuff it's involved with, but it's not wide-scoping enough. It's not... Like, I'm in Pontypridd in Cardiff. It's sort of edges of Cardiff, and there's good facilities. There's never anyone around there. You never see, like, schools, stuff going on with the schools. You'll never see Cardiff City. Like, there's a lot of community events go on there, and there's no representation. Even the Blues do it, and I know the marketing team in the Blues is three people, and they're trying to get into every local community to get as many people there, and there's a big issue with rugby, sort of, that's another topic altogether. So, the club needs to buck its ideas up, really, doesn't it?
Big time. I don't know. Is there, like, I don't even know who the supporters, the liaison officer is for Cardiff anymore. There's just nothing. I mean, there's the trust. I joined the trust a year on. I don't really know what they've done. Like there's
three tweets a year when the cash statement.
Yeah. Like, I thought, let's join the trust. Let's try and make a difference. Do you know what I mean? There needs to be more we can do as fans, truly. I mean, that's another conversation.
I spoke to a couple of people within the trust, and I think the biggest frustration from the trust is the club's lack of willingness to engage.
Yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it?
When was the last time they put on anything? Like, Warnock did... One thing Warnock did really well was bring fans back involved, doesn't it? And you go from that, and now all of a sudden... It's gone back to the rebrand sort of stage of this big wall going up and no talking from the club. They don't want to know. They just want your money. And the Blackburn fixture, all right, as soon as the podcast came out, an hour later, they made us look like mugs by saying they're going to give a fucking refund. But the lack of communication and sort of all of that show, and just the whole thing of, like, we can't give it you for free, you've got to pay for it, and we'll give you a tenner off your season ticket if you renew next year. sort but of he, set.
Yeah.
Go on, Dan, sorry.
I was just going to say, yeah, just about the, you know, the community and the engagement side of it. The comms just isn't really there. It's just not hitting the right notes at the minute. You know, like you said, like, is, does anyone know why Cardiff and Wrexham and Swansea don't even try and tweet or engage or communicate in Welsh? I mean, it may be alienating some of our fans, but you know, that was one of the main things that the FAW did so, so well, is they embraced the language and the identity that we have as Welsh people. And that's what makes us so much different. And that's what makes us so unique in this league. The Welsh teams operating in an English team, us versus them every week, unless we're playing each other.
I'll go behind the scenes, sort of you saying about the identity and stuff like that. When I did the interview with the FAW for a job there, I think it was the second question they asked me was, what is Welsh identity to you? That's the second question. They're not interested in sort of my qualifications, what I did. It was a bit of a get to know you with the team. And then they're straight into it. What's Welsh identity to you? And they're on top of it. They understand their audience. And I don't think if you asked anyone, and I'm not going to talk about Wrexham or all the other clubs, I don't know them, but for the Cardiff, for a team like us, if you asked any of the team at the Cardiff City Stadium, what's the identity of a Cardiff fan? What do the Cardiff fans identify with? I don't think they'd have a clue. And I think that's the problem, isn't it? And that's sort of...
Yeah.
But if you asked any other fan in the stadium, they'd tell you exactly what we're all thinking. So, it's a difficult discussion and maybe something that, you know, there may be regulations or something, you know, that they can't do, you know. It might be as simple as that. But I just think it needs to improve. And you know, if you improve the relationship between the fans and the club, then everyone gets on the same side and you're all fighting for the same cause. And then eventually it's going to end up looking better on the pitch.
We want to try some, we've in the WhatsApp chat with Ben and stuff, we've talked about doing Twitter spaces. I think what might be quite a good one is sort of looking at this and sort of we'll take it onto Twitter and sort of get other people's views as well and sort of see what their views are. Because I think that it's a really important discussion that fans could have, and sort of hopefully then you never know, someone from Cardiff might listen. They might say, look, because I don't think people want to jump down the club's throat. We don't want to be angry with the club. It's the last thing we want. It's too hard work. It's not what we paid. We're not here to slag the club off. So yeah, we'll look at that. Maybe sort of in a few weeks, we'll sort of jump on Twitter spaces and get you boys involved and we'll do another chat about it a bit more.
Fans have the power when they organise. And that's something what Cardiff fans haven't been able to do for a long time. So it just takes a couple of people to do it. So why not us? Who knows? But yeah, I think, like Dan said, comms. Cardiff City TV, they do a good job. I think they do a good job. But the quality could be so much better because it's so easy to do this kind of thing now with the world and the technology as it is. Like, invest in it because it pays out if you get a good comms team. And I don't think it's the people who are in those jobs to blame. By far, I think they're doing the best of what they're given. But let them, employ more people. Who's head of communications? Is it Denham?
Mark Denham?
Yeah. I think he does so much than, you know, if he can concentrate on his role rather than doing all the other stuff. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about individuals and their jobs, but I just think the club should put much more stock in communication, because like the fact that so much of the club's content is behind a paywall is a disgrace. Like there should be an active YouTube channel. Like how much do people take from stuff like YouTube and stuff like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram? It's just the bare minimum every week. And that's not the fault of the people who are doing it, because maybe is one person. I do the media for Pen & Bont. I'm the only person who does it. I do a full-time job. I do other things. I can't get it to how I'd like it. But
same with Rog. Rog Stendler. It's not easy to sort of stay on top of stuff. And like the time it goes into doing graphics, match content, like Rog, we've got three clubs, trying to keep on top of all three, live tweeting stuff and all of that. It's difficult. Like, we understand that. But yeah, I think we'll move on now because I think we've hammered the club enough. Gwydion Edwards asks, who do we need as signings, and is now the time for a back four? I think we've sort of gone into that a bit. It's sort of, yeah. Rob Bell, I'm guessing his name is. First of all, Morrison dugout individuals, then the forward line, now the whole team. whilst no one happy with the players on Saturday is criticising them in the press conference going to end well. I think we've covered that as well. Sam Hardwell, will we go down? Probably the way it's going. Miles asks, are players downing tools because they know whatever happens, they won't be here come May, or is it just a bad crop? I think, again, it's sort of something we've covered in all of this. Frisbee, I think, has lost his fucking head and asks, pack to centre-half.
Why not?
Why
not?
Yeah.
I'll have a go. Actually, yeah, no. I tried one game of football this year. It didn't work out well. So.
It might make me care for him. Who knows?
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's got to that point now where it's just like, I want to look at a team sheet and think, right, he's trying something different, because it's this. You look at that and you're like, okay, all right, it's Ng, it's McGuinness, it's Flint, it's Nelson. You know, it's just like, I can name you probably Saturday's team now.
Could we play Ng centre-back? Right centre-back? McGuinness centre, Morrison left centre-back.
Ng, yeah,
he's tall lad. He could do it, right?
So Diff Ng asks, Perry Ng gets an easy ride, but so really good enough since he had that excellent start. What do you lads make of Perry Ng? Because I think he's a really curious case of a player. It started, and I thought, Christ, we're on to, I think this is the next Kev McNaughton, next right back that goes everything. At times, a wonderful shithouse, but this season we've not seen, he doesn't seem to be the same player that he was this time 12 months ago. What do you boys think?
When we signed him, I thought that's exactly the sort of signings we should be making. Young lads who've had experience in the lower leagues and ready to step up. And he showed it. He was quite outspoken about McCarthy when he left. So maybe there was something that had gone on there and he didn't like his style of play. And maybe it's just rattled him a bit. But I'm not prepared to give up on him yet. I think he's someone who we can stick around definitely. You know, if you talk about looking through that squad and, you know, playing sell or keep, he's definitely a keep for me. Because
yeah, it doesn't help he's been put on the left as well sometimes. You know, he's been played out of position. You know, like you just said, when he came in, he looked quality. So I think he just needs time.
Yeah. Right, cheers for your Twitter questions, everyone. A lot to go through, and I might have missed a couple, I'm not too sure, but my internet's playing up. So we'll go from there. We'll go, I think the last thing to do really is preview Forest. Start of the season, I thought they were dead and buried. I thought they'd be down there with us. I thought they'd be in the position we are, to be honest, the way it was going. Couldn't get a win for love nor money, and the fans were properly turning. The Goblins come into place and they seem to be on the rise and potentially looking at a playoff pace. It's Sunday game. What's that, 8 days without a game? Longer on the training pitch to work on issues. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing, Tom?
I don't know anymore. I do what you mean. Like, I think when Morrison first came in, we were like, oh, you know, we've had a lot of fixtures that have come thick and fast. He hasn't had time to implement his philosophy, his style. We're starting to see his philosophy and style come across now. We're still not winning games. So, no, it's not going to be... I don't think it's a bad thing, to be honest with you. It may help, but I don't think it really makes a huge difference either way, to be honest.
Dan, fans are back. I don't know if you boys are fancying heading down. I'm considering it, but I don't know at the moment. Fans back at the stadium, though. Surely that can only give the players a boost. Surely.
Yeah, you'd like to hope so, wouldn't you? But at the minute, I think momentum is massive. You know, Forest, as you say, they're on the up and up. Just beat their local rivals. Brian Johnson looks absolutely magic, which is class for Wales, obviously, but terrible for us. And we're a bit of a sinking ship. So, as it goes, we shouldn't be too optimistic. But as Cardiff City fans, we never are. But you never know. It is the Championship. Things, you know, teams are in terrible runs of form. Sometimes do end up getting a result here and there. So, let's stay positive.
Well, Brennan Johnson might not be there come Sunday. That might be a positive.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Maybe he'll be sold before then.
Norwich are going for him. He'd suit Norwich. He's that sort of player that would do well there.
Yeah.
Right. I've called him the Goblin. He's doing a hell of a job there. What's your thoughts on him and just Forest as a whole?
Anyone who's listened to Alternative Wales, the podcast, will know that I'm quite wonderful a big fan. Son. Thank you very much. I'm quite a big fan of Steve Cooper. You know, considering he's managing England youth setup team and Swansea, I'm quite a big fan of him. So yeah, I think Swansea fans treated him terribly towards the end of the spell. How did they think that getting rid of him was a good idea? I don't know. I can say that on this podcast because we don't have. I'd like to think there's no Swansea fans listening.
Amazing, we do get a couple that do.
Well, yeah, there'd probably be a few sort of weirdos. But yeah, look, he's a great manager, and Norwich have been Nottingham Forest have been a basket case for a long time. Not many managers have got Chris Hughton, who was like the Championship whisperer, had gone in and they were in free fall. I think they've
First manager to last 12 months. Under
was that, he really?
Under that, was it Faz? Are they called the Fazwells or something?
Yeah, something
under,
like that,
under
yeah.
their under their ownership, he was the first manager. Or was he the first manager? Yeah, he was the first manager to last 12 months and start two successive seasons.
Yeah. And, you know, if he'd stayed in charge, they'd probably be in a very similar position to us. So Steve Cooper has done a hell of a job, and I think he's a future Wales manager. And yeah, I only got good things to say about him as a football manager. Forest as a whole, again, you know, they're a club like us. They should be a bigger club than they are. Hell of a history. But I, you know, I was looking at their back three from Saturday. Obviously, they had Steve Cook, what a signing. And then they had, is it McKenna next to him? You know, signed him from Scotland. When was the last time we went and bought a little gem from Scotland? Callum Patterson? Do you mean like how many times did that work for us in the past? You know, McNaughton, Don Cowie, Craig Conway. It's a good place to bring in cheap footballers that are good at Championship level. So there's him, and I can't remember who the other one was. I didn't write him down. But he was, oh no, he's Yates, young lad that had come through the academy. What a perfect little blend of three players. Experience, sort of like solid Championship player, and a youth prospect. And that's what we don't have at this. You know, when you look at our squad, is a blend. It's all or nothing, isn't it? You know, and yeah, Steve Cooper's doing a hell of a job. And if they don't go up this season, then I think they're going to be in the conversation next year.
Tom, they've got some well-established Championship players. Who do you see as their danger men? Lewis Grabban, he seems to be getting a song out of Lewis Grabban for the first time in what, 5 years?
Yeah, but well, it just shows, doesn't it? Like Cooper going in there, like that game against Arsenal in the Cup, arguably they didn't play that well, you know, at times, but they're organised, they know what they're doing, they've got their roles, you know, they've got a purpose, they've got the likes of like Brennan Johnson we mentioned, but like people like Jed Spence who they brought in from Villa on loan, they tore Arsenal, like it caused them so many problems, and like Ryan said, they've just got a blend of players and that kind of fit well as a team, you know, and Cooper, like he's a fantastic manager, like you want to hate him, you kind of can't.
Because, I can't, that face.
That's why I feel sorry for him. Like, people like you bullying him.
His dad's a referee. He managed England. He managed Swansea.
But that's what I mean.
He doesn't want. And he just doesn't want to be liked, does he, by Cardiff fans?
Yeah, I think he comes across as a good bloke as well. It's bizarre.
Same.
I've got a bad word to say about him.
Unless the grass is a little bit too long and he does throw his toy out the pram, then.
Yeah. I think it's Ben's just got an agenda.
Yeah, him, Lee Johnson, slug, can't stand the prick.
See, yeah, Lee Johnson. What a horrible bloke. Now we're talking.
It's mad that the most positive thing on this podcast today has been our opinion of Steve Cooper.
Oh, God, Cardiff fans are going to hate me.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Well, Wales first, I'm a big Steve Cooper fan, so I think it might be my last appearance as well.
Yeah, I mean, I got to talk to you about that afterwards, actually. right, let's just go for it then, boys. It's been grim reading. At home, I think it's the worst record in the Football League. What's your predictions? Dan, we'll come to you first.
Yeah, I think it's... I think we're probably going to lose. I'd like to think we score a goal. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I'd say we lose 2-1.
2-1. Right.
Cardiff 0, Nottingham Forest 2.
Tom?
1-1.
Oh, he's going ambitious with it.
Fair play. I feel like you give a positive... You're like the anti-Mark Lawrenson. Just like a positive result every week. Yeah. I can't remember the last time we had a positive result.
So. I think we'd be top of the table if you took all my predictions. Yeah.
No, I think even then we'd still be mid-table, and that's been massively optimistic. That just shows how bad it's been. Oh, God. I think we're going to get battered. I think it could be like a 3-0 massacre.
Oh, it's a battered. I thought you were going to say something like 6-0 then, but...
It could easily be that, the way we defend. Like, we play against, like... Let's go back to the Bristol game. Like, they were shit. They weren't exactly fantastic, and they tore us to shreds. You look at some of the players that Forest have on the form there at the moment, and yeah, I'm getting worried.
But like, look at West Brom, though. Do you know what I mean? We can get a good result. We can be organised at times. Like, we've got flashes of it. It's mad that our flashes are getting draws. But like, you know, we can be all right at times, and I'm hoping at this weekend, we could get a win. Like, it was games we should be targeting, really. A home, do you mean? We should be targeting wins, but what used to be a fortress is now very much a bouncy castle instead. But it's just, we're terrible. But, like, you know, we've got to back the boys, man. Plucky one all.
Let's leave that's almost positive. I think let's leave it there. That's almost positive.
Yeah, I was going to go into a bit of another negative spiral then. So
I'm not anymore, I'm jumping off a bridge. People have got to listen to this on their commute tomorrow.
They don't have to. That's the problem.
Yeah, and let's be honest, some of them aren't. So, you know, fucking buck your ideas. Without going full Bubbins on this, lads, come on, we need the numbers. Speaking of numbers, we've got an offer. Look after your testicles. They'll look after you, as I once said. Our Manscaped offer at VFT Ninian ends on January 31st. If you want 20% off the Performance 4.0 package, me and Tom got one. Some lovely t-shirts, some lovely boxes, and some magnificent ball deodorant. Have you boys got on the Manscaped pipe yet?
I've not, no. But I will have to take up this fantastic offer from View from the Ninian, which you can get at manscaped.com/ VFTN?
Yeah, well, VFT Ninian. Use the code VFT Ninian, and you get 20% off the performance.
Football. I will be doing exactly that as soon as I turn my laptop off.
To be fair, Ben, you made it sound like me and you were sharing one as well. So me and Tom have got one. So why don't you all as well?
One each. So yeah, don't forget that ends January 31st. And if you could support the pod, it would be a massive help supporting us going forward for the rest of the season. So yeah. Or if you want to give money otherwise, and as Ben says, if you like what we do, kofi.co.uk/VFTNinian. Chuck us a few quid, help with the running costs. Anything you can give is greatly appreciated, because we've got to pay for Ben's holiday to Miami.
What does he usually say, for the love, not the money, or something? Yeah,
whatever he says every week, he gets it the wrong way around.
No, he's gone to Miami. He's doing it for the money, not the love, let's be honest. that's it for this week. If you've managed to make it through this without self-harming or doing anything dangerous to yourself, well done, because it's been a bit of a slog. Dan, where can people find you on Twitter?
Jardine Official, diolch yn fawr.
Lovely. Join one of the thousands of Welsh people following him on Twitter. And right, where can we find you, and more importantly, where can we find Alternative Wales?
Alternative Wales is at @alt_Wales. I am on Twitter under a pseudonym of Brian Mowth.
Was that Agent Phillips's idea to come up with that alternative pseudonym?
No, I thought I'd best do it in case I say anything derogatory about things on our podcast.
Did it on here instead. Nice.
I did it on here instead, yeah. if you are interested in Welsh football more broadly and sort of just alternative Welsh culture, then come and listen to our podcast and buy a fanzine on alternativewales.com. And I just want to apologise to anyone who had to listen to me get a lot of off my chest that I've been wanting to get off my chest for a long time about Cardiff City.
So, how do you feel about it all? Do you feel better now?
I feel much better. I might go for a run. I'm flying now. I've said a lot of stuff I wanted to say for a long time.
At this time of night, avoid City Hall.
Yeah.
Tom, how are you feeling about everything, buddy? You seem your calm self as normal.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been ranting about this all year, so generally apathetic to the whole thing now. So thanks for listening to me again. just frustrated by it all.
Normal order will be resumed next week. Ben James is back. And we'll see you then, when hopefully there might be some positivity. But let's be honest, it probably won't.